listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to State of the Art with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to State of the Arts.
And you are Michael Sterling.
I am, and you are Paul Strolley.
Yes, thanks. So you didn't introduce yourself. And normally you're
did
right
a little
up
back
front there.
Went in through the back door.
You're changing it up
didn't
on
I?
Me, trying yeah. to keep me, you know, sharp.
On your toes.
Yes.
That would be right.
If I were to introduce you, or to speak as you, I would do the Kashmir vocal cord thing.
You would.
Hello, this is Michael Sterling.
I see.
Michael has the greatest outgoing message of us. Sometimes I just call Michael when I know he's not available just to hear his outgoing message.
Hello, this is Michael Sterling. I'm terribly sorry I can't answer your call right now. Actually, sorry is too small a word.
It's magical.
Yeah.
Magical.
Thank you,
Paul. I'm oddly aroused by your outgoing
voice. Really? Well, that's a whole other show, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Listen, we'd like to thank, Paul, our presenting sponsor, Breakdown Services, for
yes.
supporting us this year, and being it that it is the week to be thankful, Breakdown Services is the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit them at breakdownexpress.com.
Our thanks also go out to performingartslive.com for their support of our live arts calendar. Performing Arts Live is the most comprehensive online directory of event information for music, theater, and dance events in Southern California. We're delighted to have both of those people aboard.
And we have some wonderful guests in the studio today. Paul, you want to tell
we
them
do,
about one
we
of them?
Do. We have with us today the lovely and talented musical theater and television star, Miss Vicki Lewis, is with us, best known for her co-starring role as Beth the Quirky Secretary on the hit NBC series, you like that? NBC series, News Radio. That's a combination of series and radio, in case you were wondering. One of television's most hilarious sitcoms. Welcome, Vicki. Good to have you on board.
Thank you so very
Hello,
much.
Hello,
so glad you're here.
Welcome. And Paul, we also have film and television star and recording artist and Tony Award winner John Lloyd Young, who in November 2005 took Broadway by storm as Frankie Valli in the Broadway smash hit Jersey Boys, based, of course, on the turbulent rise to fame of legendary recording artists Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. Welcome, John. We'll be talking to John a little bit later in the program, but welcome, John.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Absolutely.
Good to have you. So how was your week, Michael?
Well,
you want to tell?
You know, it was a good week, actually. I think, you know, the focus of this week is family and Thanksgiving, and a lot of people are leaving town. You're going to be in town, of course, for the big benefit that we're going to be talking about later.
That is correct.
Yes, we will.
But
yes.
How are you spending your Thanksgiving? Is it with friends here and
Yeah, well, my sister lives in Scottsdale, Arizona, uh-huh. and so she's coming up, and my husband, I live with him, so he'll be part of the festivities.
It's good that you live with your husband.
Yeah. It's still going well after
yeah.
3 years.
I thought we were spending
yeah.
Thanksgiving together. Has that
awkward,
gone south?
Or? Very awkward. So awkward. Clearly, you haven't heard my outgoing message.
And, John, you'll be in Whittier, right?
I'll be at home with
at
friends
home,
and
yes.
watching TV.
Watching TV.
There are a lot of good games.
With the rest of America.
Life on the Edge with John.
Yeah, we have to have a quiet time, too.
And Paul will be down south in San Diego.
I will be in the magic that is San Diego,
magic
yes.
Magic San Diego.
I'll be in San Diego with friends and family, yes.
Well, you know, so many other people, at least none of us here, are traveling by plane. Anywhere, right?
There's no naked scanning going on for me this
yes.
week.
Well, this is interesting.
It's very
you bring
controversial.
This up.
Well, not in an airport anyway.
No, yeah, exactly. Very true.
This is exactly what I'm going to talk about here, because this morning across the news came to me a little piece called Scanner Proof Undies Keep
oh.
Passengers' Secrets. Now, this is from New York. Airline passengers worried about new security scanners filming their privates now have a way out. Anti-radiation underwear.
Okay.
The undies,
tell us more.
The undies sold by Colorado company Rocky Flats Gear feature cute fig leaf patterns over the sensitive area with the leaves made out of material promising to block natural and man-made radiation.
Okay.
That would
But then
stop.
Wouldn't that block a bomb? I'm just asking.
Well,
That's funny to me,
a
right?
A fig leaf.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you're blocking
bomb.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking the same thing. A fig leaf shaped bomb could go off.
That's the next
trouble. That's the next thing I'll invent.
Well, and they say here there's something for everyone in this sci-fi top drawer, ranging from the Patriot 3 pack of men's boxer shorts to skimpier briefs, and for women, the velvet privacy
The
bra.
Patriot 3 pack?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Only, this is a male design product if it's named after a missile.
Right.
I mean, really.
What's the name of the women's product again? The velvet
the
bra?
Velvety,
what?
The velvety.
Sorry to me to test
no,
you.
No, no, no,
hang
no,
you
that's
out
okay.
There.
No, no, no. The velvet
short term memory is the first
bra.
To go. Velvet privacy bra. That's
the velvet privacy
never
bra.
Never be caught without one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to buy my outfit for my next transcontinental flight.
See, me too. But, I'm very excited.
But I'm thinking with, you know, this whole thing, I think the idea is to, you got to keep it fun. So I would think with the holiday travel, it should be holiday themed. Like instead of the fig leaf, it could be, you know, a candy cane, a couple
a
of snowballs.
A little yam.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know? It could be mistletoe.
Yeah.
It requires a kiss somewhere.
A little yam.
We've all had one of those.
Indeed.
That's right. All encountered. I crossed that line. I just got a weird.
You've all encountered
look.
The little yam.
That's right.
Well, there's that fellow that's making a sensation on YouTube.
Oh, the little, right, where they're talking about the two. He's, what is it? The lint under the tooth? Are you talking about that thing?
Well, no, the guy.
The one
how
that
awkward!
Came
I misread.
Out and said, to
the guy with the cell phone who let his cell phone run through, and he said, "If you touch, what is it? If you touch my junk, you're going to jail."
Yeah.
The guy who.
Oh, the guy that got
refused,
arrested. Right?
He refused the scan, and
Where is he now?
apparently, he's pitching his yam somewhere
That's
else.
That's correct.
I think he's facing a fine of like $11,000 or so,
really?
Potentially.
Really?
And then NBC is developing a new series for him.
Yeah.
Of course.
Right, exactly.
Of course.
In the end, he wins.
Exactly.
He will
exactly.
be rewarded with a book deal.
Okay, let's move out of Yamville. We are thrilled to introduce our first guest today from the hit television series News Radio to Broadway's Do Patent Leather Shoes Really Reflect Up?
It's just as hard to get into the bad ones.
What's that?
It's just as hard to get into the bad ones, I say.
No, but that was the first of a list. Chicago, Damn Yankees, The Crucible. This Ovation Award-winning actress is one of Los Angeles' favorite musical theater stars. Please welcome Miss Vicki Lewis, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I was waiting for canned applause. I'm happy that you did that.
And listen to that guillotine cut on that. Let's hear that again.
That's good.
It's so natural up until that point. And there we go.
That would be cool if we could get audiences to actually do it like that.
Wouldn't it certainly help the flow.
And the timing.
Yeah.
For comic reasons.
You just conduct them out.
Yeah, exactly.
And Vicki and John Lloyd Young are both here, I might say this up front of these interviews, to promote something that is happening in Anaheim. Broadway Rocks Anaheim, a one-night-only event for the future home of the Anaheim Performing Arts Center. And it will raise funds for the APAC Foundation, which will become permanent host to a resident stage and musical production company, as well as the Anaheim Ballet and the Orange County Symphony. And Broadway Rocks Anaheim stars dozens of Broadway's best performers at the Heritage Forum in Anaheim, California, Saturday, November 27th at 8 p.m. We'll give you that phone number a little bit later in the show. So, Vicki, welcome, and thank you for joining us today. I am a huge, huge fan.
You're so
of yours.
Sweet to say that. Thank you.
That's
very nice.
I've been trying to get you to headline my nightclub.
You know,
for four
I'm working.
Years.
I know you have, and you know, not without. It's going to come around. This is your time. Oh, I just tapped the table. We're not supposed to do that. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Does that annoy you if I do that while I'm talking to you
okay.
at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the one who's twitching.
Yeah, I know.
Like
I'm okay. so sorry.
This is not what we discussed.
I'm so sorry. I'm actually working on a show. You know, I just did Funny Girl this summer, and Glenn Casale directed it.
Yes.
And it was great fun, but he asked me if I would come up in May and do an evening and raise money for the theater up there, and it forced me to put together my show. So I'm working on it now, and the minute it's done, I will call you and you
will
can
you?
Book it. Absolutely.
Okay.
I absolutely
You've
will.
Just told thousands of people.
No, I know.
Okay.
You have
so now, Michael, what is this club you're talking about? There's a club, apparently?
Sterling's upstairs at Vitello's in Studio City.
Vitello's.
Oh, really? And what exactly takes
Robert
place
Blake
there?
Did not kill his wife.
That's right.
Exactly.
Is
that right?
That's correct.
Yes.
Okay. He had dinner there with her.
You got to love... Yeah, I don't want to go...
The gun was found in the dumpster. It's very, like, old Hollywood. I love it, though. It's what the allure, right?
The best thing about the whole Blake thing was the alibi. I wasn't outside killing my wife because I had to go back in the restaurant where my gun was.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. Where it was hidden by some mafia
How
man
do you argue
at the
with
toilet,
that?
Like, taped up under, right? I mean,
yes.
what?
Yes.
And you know that still 8 years later, it's the most requested table in the restaurant.
Oh, see, I want to go there. I want to see that table.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But we're upstairs.
Yes, no, I know that. Yes, I do know that.
Above the carnage.
Yeah.
Above the carnage.
Exactly. But that's good to know, Vicky. So, and I also heard you were fantastic in Funny Girl this summer up there in that production.
Thank you. It was like the stars aligned. It was a really cool production and performance, I think. I think it came off really well. It was wonderful.
And I'm surprised you hadn't done that before.
I'm surprised, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know. And you know what was crazy this summer? I went, I had done Gypsy at Music Circus last summer, and I got these great reviews, and it was wonderful. So they asked me to do it at Long Beach, in Boston. Oh, my God. Anyway, some theater in Boston. I did it, and, it's not an easy role.
Right?
And so I left there, and I flew. Your tiny violin is out. I was like, who cares, really? You had work all summer. But I flew from there the same day to Sacramento and started Funny Girl. So it was kind of crazy to do those two roles back-to-back. It was great fun for my ego, but it was a lot of work. It was a great summer. Yeah.
Did you find one more difficult than the other? Or?
You know, Mama Rose is a really difficult place to live in for 4 weeks.
Right.
It's just dark and, hangry. And Funny Girl is a lot more work vocally, but I just love sitting in that place. You know, it's kind of every girl's dream who's funny, strange, who can sing.
Yeah.
Vicky, I got to ask you something. One of the things that we love about doing this show, one of the things that I love, Michael and I haven't discussed it, but I do love it, and that is getting the information about people that you only know from maybe a few projects, and then you read their bio and you learn about the other things, and then your brain just clicks and you go, oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. And I'm astounded by the amount of voice work that you've done. And how much you dig that. Do you like it more?
Oh, I dig
less,
it. You can wear your pajamas to do this work. It's fantastic. I did Finding Nemo, and that was very fun. And then I was working and working and working. And then I had a little space, and I thought, how do you do more animation? You need to get an animation agent. Like, and I came to it last year, so I was 28.
Is that an agent that's just drawn? Or what is an animated
agent?
That's
right. Wouldn't that be great? No offense. There's an agent in the room. But, there's this great agency that I'm with, CESD. And so I just started, I said, hey, I'd love to do more of it. And so I did. And, I've been really blessed. Like, I can't rattle off the list in my head because I'm old, but...
No, but if I remember correctly, I believe Justice League Heroes, Phineas and Ferb, Rugrats, King of the Hill, Hercules, the animated series, an extremely goofy movie. Of course, I'm working from memory.
Yes,
but still,
and I'm currently working on Batman, and I was just in Alpha and Omega that came out.
Oh,
yeah,
right.
It's a very cool deal, and I can do it in my closet along with other things. That sounds wrong. But all you need is a microphone and a closet, and you can MP3 your file into the agent, and... It's very cool. So.
And CESD was a form that's Cunningham Escott something Dupini.
Nice.
Yeah.
Be careful on that last part.
Cunningham Escott something, and then they changed Dupini into something.
I'm sure they did. That's correct. Rightly so. Wait, it's I don't want to spend our time doing Alzheimer's exercises.
No, but they have. My point was that they have a great voice department there.
Yes, they do.
Yes.
They're fantastic.
Yes.
I love Kathy Lizzio and Pat Brady. They're great. There. Okay. Yes.
And you said something about doing your work in your pajamas, which is true.
It's fantastic.
A lot of my friends who do voiceover work are just that, and that's all built into their closet. And it's not dissimilar, Paul. Sometimes we have No Pants Mondays here.
Oh, wow, how awkward.
Yeah, but your friends who work in their pajamas are in a completely different line of work.
Well, aren't we smart?
My husband is a sound designer, so when I met him, he said to me, why aren't you doing this at home, and he set it up for me. It's very easy to do. So,
That requires an underscore.
Someone's getting a phone call.
Oh,
I think we should just underscore that.
No.
Showbiz personal manager just ran right out of the room.
Yes, by all means, when your cell phone goes off, run out of the room. That's always the best thing to do. Yes.
This was our first
rule.
Oh,
our cell phone's going off. Oh, we got a little thing. Let me run out of the room and slam the door.
I was doing a play last year, and somebody, their phone went off, and then they answered it. And said very loudly, we were at the Blank, so it's very tiny there, the Blank Theater.
Oh,
very loudly, I think it was 2 years ago, I make time up. But hey, I'm at the theater. I can't talk right now. I'll call you back. Like, I mean, people
I know.
Just amazing.
That's the thing. I don't mind the cell phone going off. I mean, anyone can have that little glitch in
sure.
the theater and that happen. But it's when they take the call.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
it's just like, what are you thinking?
Yeah.
What are you thinking? That
yeah.
just astounds me.
I know. It. Yeah.
you,
crazy.
You know, some of the things that Vicky's done on stage, too, which fascinate me. I mean, you read some credits, Paul, at the beginning of the show. But she's also done City of Angels, My One and Only. And has appeared as a soloist with the New York Pops at Carnegie Hall. How cool is that?
Very cool.
That must have been very, very sweet to do.
Yes, it was.
And also appeared with Peter Gallagher and Patti LuPone in Pal Joy at the New York City Center. And her Ovation Award, which is the Los Angeles equivalent to a Tony Award, not quite on the same level.
It's a little different.
Yes, a little different, but for Best Featured Actress in a Musical.
Can I describe the Ovation Award
yes,
to you?
Yes, please.
Because
do.
This was
oh,
the
this
best
be
thing.
Good.
My friend said this, and it absolutely laid me out. And we can say this because there's no FCC. He goes, you know, the Los Angeles Ovation Award is the LA equivalent of the Tony if you win it. If you lose it, it's just a shitty regional theater award.
You know what? Do you know what happened to me? This was really embarrassing. I won the Ovation Award. That was very nice. And along that time, because I, you know, that was a role that people were responding to, I got this letter. I think it's from Equity, but the Garland Award, right?
Yeah. Yes,
but it was
yes.
a letter saying you're like in the mix for the Garland Award, but I misread it. I read it quickly, and I went around for like 2 weeks telling people I had won the Garland Award, which I clearly did not
right.
did not win. But I'm nominated for an Ovation Award for this year for How to Succeed in Business Without Really
Fantastic.
Trying.
Oh, really?
Congratulations.
I just found out. Thank you.
Yes,
oh,
indeed.
Yeah.
And the Garland Award, which often people think is the Beverly Garland Award.
Which is what I won.
Which is so nice. Yes. Which is
I won the Beverly Garland.
There you Yes, you were. He is actually an Ovation nominee for his show, Renaissance
yeah,
Gate,
but that
which later became Straight Up with a Twist.
But that wasn't my mother voice. That was I stayed at the Beverly. When I first came out to L.A., I stayed at the Beverly Garland Holiday Inn. There's a Beverly Garland
oh, there
Holiday
is?
Inn.
Yes.
yes. It's the Beverly.
Oh, no.
And the most surreal thing is when you call down to the front desk, she's the recording. So it's like if you need an iron or something, you just say, hello.
Thank you for calling the Beverly Garland. Sorry.
Time's not been well.
If you need
treated her well.
If you need Robitussin sent up to your room with an expectorant, I will hand deliver it.
So wrong.
Sorry. Sorry. That really has to sound great on the radio,
doesn't it?
Does
it hurt
yeah.
you?
What?
Does that hurt you?
It used
yeah.
to, but okay. I did 1,400 shows of my play doing that voice
wow,
for, of
did
my
you
mother.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
So. Oh, that really is your mom's voice.
That is my
it
mom.
Is.
Well,
it
it's either my mom or Beverly Garland or Harvey Fierstein.
Yeah, yeah.
It just
yeah.
doesn't really matter.
right.
It's the same thing.
I was going to make a Harvey joke, but I didn't want to be obvious.
It's so. Yeah. Actually, Michael does a killer Harvey Fierstein.
I do.
Do you? Let's hear a little.
It's
right
Michael's
now,
own one of your few impersonations. Would you do a little Harvey for us?
Hello, this is Harvey Fierstein. Vicky, it's so nice to have you. You know I'm going into Le Cage au Four. I'm replacing the guy from Fraser. Yeah. You know him. Her, or whoever,
yeah.
whatever.
Him,
that's
her,
a,
whoever.
A great characterization, because he does offer up his credits before you ask.
yes,
funny.
Oh, does he?
I think so.
Indeed.
That was my experience.
What
He's
I was
lovely,
leading
though.
Up to with that Ovation Award was the play that you got it for, which was Michael John Lacusa.
Yeah.
Wow. What oh. a, what an amazing writer this guy is, huh?
Yes, and hard to sing.
Yeah.
Hard stuff to sing, but he's a genius. He's
and the show
really
was
genius.
Called C'est l'amour?
C'est l'amour.
C'est l'amour.
Yes.
So the
Hotel
R is missing in your
is
bio.
It? Oh, that's
yes.
why. Hotel C'est l'amour.
C'est l'amour.
Yeah.
C'est l'amour. I knew that didn't
yeah,
feel
Yeah, the touching
right.
story of yeah. a French cow.
We
yeah,
wear C'est l'amour moos, and yes, we sail about.
I just saw, though, a show of his at Musical Theater Guild did.
Oh, what was that?
Which was Hello Again.
Oh, that's a beautiful piece.
Based on Laurent.
It's actually Hello Again.
Hello Again. Yes, yes, yes. But it was
a wonderful
production, actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's one of
people.
His more commercial, you know, pieces. His pieces are very avant-garde-ish, but that one's got some really sort of...
more accessible.
Yeah, because normally when he gets to the place in his music where you're going to drive it home, he takes a left turn. Do you know what I mean? He's
no.
very... But that one has a little bit more of that in it.
You know, Vicky, you are a recording artist as well, and you have a CD that is currently out and available on all of the sites, the regular sites, Amazon, CD Baby, and
iTunes
as well. And
yes.
I was fascinated by it when I was navigating through your website this morning because of the liner notes. That's the first thing that caught me,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to read to you what these liner notes said. The word, this is a quote of, from Vicky about having written this album, which is called East of Midnight. The words and music of these songs unfolded before me like a foreboding window in a, into a chapter of my life that would prove to be dauntingly destructive and spiritually bereft. Locked in my office in Malibu, California, I wrote what would become a self-fulfilling prophecy. It would also prove to be the making of me. And it is a beautiful, I think that's beautiful. And
I think it
the
is.
Music, absolutely.
Thank you.
So it's all original work?
It's all original work. There are a few covers, but it's mostly original work. And, you know, I was working on news radio, and my friend Phil Hartman was shot and killed very abruptly. And it tore my heart out of my body. I just didn't understand it. And we were on a hiatus, and I just became so, you know, broken about it. And there were a lot of other things that were just, you know, it was not a good chapter for me. And I was reading, I just got into all the literary martyrs, you know, Dorothy Parker and, I don't know, J.D. Salinger. And I was just reading them. And the, and a lot of the songs are, you know, sort of my representations of what those words and stories meant to me. And it was just, it was like, a, you know, it was kind of like writing a diary. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was just... it's never happened to me before, like 16 songs fell out of the sky and sort of found their way onto my piano and the words and, you know, and it's very personal to me. And I held on to that record for a very long time before I released it because, you know, I live in the light now and it's far away. You know what I mean? But it's like, yeah, so it's personal. But I'm glad that you were able to...
It sounds just as therapeutic as creative as far as the process.
Yeah. And I was blessed because at the time I had a lot of TV and film money, so it's a really well-made record. I mean, it's acoustic, all of it. It's, you know, I put a lot of time and money into
Give the name of the album again, Vic.
East of Midnight.
Okay. And do you have your own website as well?
I do.
Indeed. And what would you give that as
VickyLewis.com.
Well? Now, don't lose us in specifics here. Vicky Lewis.
I know. What does that mean, though, when you say that? You said that earlier.
I said it earlier just because it's so obvious that your website would be your name, which I should have known. Which
no,
I should have known.
Some people have that weird, like someone stole their domain name. And so yeah, they don't. They have like a weird little thing.
No,
in
but it is a .com.
Yeah.
Not a .org.
Yeah, it's a .com.
But you know, she has such a powerful voice. I mean, she has a big, big, big theater voice, and yet she's able to, really one of the few people, Vicky, I say this honestly, that can take that kind of a voice and bring it down to what's on your album, which is that, you know, you're doing rock and roll, not in the serious hard sense of it, but you're doing something completely different than you do on the stage.
Completely different style. Yeah.
Which is very awesome that you can do that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's a completely different vibe. Yeah, I like it.
Paul, we have an arts calendar that we need
to
address, do we not?
Yes, we will. And thank you, Vicky. It was really nice talking to you.
Oh, my goodness, this was lovely. Thank you for having me.
But obviously stay and
yes,
chime in. Because we have
Absolutely.
To ask, I don't know if Michael told you, but we're going to have to ask you a question later to sort of initiate you.
Yes, it's another initiation of you and John.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Did you tell them about that?
No, I didn't. I never got to that part. This will be a surprise.
That was not part of the preamble.
Right. Yeah. Okay. For our live arts calendar, Harps and Angels. Oh, before you know what, Michael, we get to our arts calendar, I should say that at the end of our arts calendar, we will be hearing from Don Grigware.
Oh, yes, that's right.
For BroadwayWorld.com and also GrigwareTalksTheater.com.
Yes.
He'll be with us in a moment. But before I get into the live arts calendar, I wanted to ask you about the performer most recently at Sterling's.
Oh, Kristen Heitman last evening, actually, who came in and brought a beautiful show. She was one of the participants in something that we do every year there, which is kind of our give back to the Broadway community here in Los Angeles called LA's Next Great Stage Star, which Mr. Goswick, sitting over there in the corner, has been a part of in the past. And it is 18 young hopefuls come together and literally vie for that title. And all of our great people like Ron and other producing entities and directors and casting people and agents, everyone kind of comes together and votes in this process for a six-week period.
Wow.
And these kids go head-to-head, and these kids would not have the opportunity otherwise to be seen by such people as a Michael Donovan or Glenn Casale in your case. And we're heading into our fifth year of doing this. So this young lady brought in a beautiful show, Kristen Heitman, last night. I just wanted to acknowledge that.
Oh, okay.
And love to have you both there at some other point in time.
Absolutely.
It's really, I say
it
this.
Sounds beautiful. No,
I say
it
this unbiasedly. It will make you feel like you're back in New York.
because it looks it's like right out of the Broadway district. It's in a great Italian restaurant.
And not just because of the gunplay. I think that should be
exactly right. Yeah.
Harps and Angels, Randy Newman's witty, complex, bittersweet, and often satirical songbook is at the heart of a new musical work which creates a compelling, honest, and humorous commentary on what it is like to be born, grown up, fall in love, and live and die in America. Some of the Newman songs featured include I Think It's Going to Rain Today, Sail Away, Marie, Louisiana 1927, Feels Like Home, You've Got a Friend in Me, and of course, I Love L.A. Four-time Tony Award winner Jerry Zaks directs Harps and Angels on stage in previews through December 22nd at the Center Theater Group's Mark Taper Forum in downtown Los Angeles. And I believe we have a Don Grigware on the line. Let me see if he's there. Don, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Paul. How are you?
Grigware is here. How are you, Don?
Terrific. Happy holiday.
Thank you, Don. And say hello to your Vicki Lewis over here.
Don.
Vicki Lewis, how are you?
One of the best
funny girls I've ever seen.
Oh, my goodness. I love you. I'm glad to hear your voice.
The best funny girl. I'm so glad I went to Sacramento to see it. You know, at the end of the year, you start summing up the people that gave the best performances, and you're at the top of that list, my dear. You really are.
You're so
And I saw
sweet.
Michael Paternostro recently. He did Annie in Long Beach, and I said, you guys should have toured with that show.
Yeah, I wish we could do it again.
And speaking of great performances, too, we also have John Lloyd Young with us here, too.
Yes,
Don, please say hello.
I've never met him, but he was sensational in the Jersey Boys.
Well, hello, Don. Nice to meet you over the airwaves.
Nice to meet you, too. Hopefully I'll meet you in person.
Someday, I'm sure.
So, Don, you're going to talk to us about the fabulous Leslie Uggams, are you?
Sheer bliss. What a wonderful show. If you remember about 2 years ago in 2009, I think it was just about in February of 2009, she did Stormy Weather playing
yes.
Lena Horne.
Yes.
And, of course, which she did absolutely beautifully. Well, the director of that, Michael Bush, has put together with Leslie a show called Uptown Downtown, which is now playing at the Pasadena Playhouse. And in it, she plays herself. It's her own journey through anecdote and song from Uptown, which was Harlem, her roots, and the Apollo Theater, to downtown, to Broadway. And, of course, there were many stops along the way for her. As a little girl, she tells us how she was mesmerized by The King and I with Yul Brynner and Gertrude Lawrence, and she also saw Porgy and Bess with Leontine Price, William Warfield, and Cab Calloway, and was just blown away with them. And then later, she, as a teenager, she won many a Name That Tune contest. You guys probably don't remember that. I do.
Well, I think Paul does. I don't, but...
But she also was asked by Mitch Miller to perform regularly on the Mitch Miller Sing Along with Mitch, and he was instrumental in keeping her as a regular on the show. The network wanted to let her go, as she described herself, a little chocolate girl in those days. They didn't want to see me all the time, but Mitch fought for me, and I was a regular on that show, so she praised him enormously for that. And that was really the only little political thing in there. I would have liked to have heard a little bit more about her parents and her family and maybe the Broadway years following Hallelujah Baby. She won a Tony Award in 1968 for Hallelujah Baby, which was marvelous. But the songs, I mean, she's warm and wonderful and sings just so beautifully. And the songs, some of the songs that she did, The Man I Love, There's a Boat That's Leaving Soon for New York, of course, George Gershwin, Up a Lazy River, A Tisket a Tasket, which was Ella Fitzgerald's signature song. And then her signature song, Jerry Herman's If You Walked Into My Life from Maine, Stormy Weather, Love, another Lena Horne song, all backed by wonderful musical director Don Rebeck and an eight-piece orchestra. And it was really refreshing not to see a video screen for a change. I mean, it was just Leslie and the orchestra. I know we were treated last night to Harps and Angels. Paul, you're going to talk more about that next week. But video screen, which is nice, but I thought Leslie's show was classy.
Yeah.
Actually,
Don, my wife saw, I didn't see you last night.
Oh, you didn't go.
No, I didn't see you there. My wife did, though, because I didn't see it. By the time we sat down, she goes, you know, Don Grigware's here, and then we couldn't find you. But no, I did attend the show.
It was pretty crowded.
I did attend the show last night, but Michael and I are going to talk about it next week after he has a chance to see it.
Yeah, so. I liked it. I enjoyed it. You know, I did. It was, it's a review.
Yeah.
Of sort.
Yeah.
It was a nice review.
I have a whole theory on it, but I might be a little too of a Randy Newman fanatic, so I have to.
I love his music. Yeah, I mean, all those the great songs, Short People, and I love L.A. I mean, they're all in the show. So
yeah.
Randy Newman. And also for Leslie, if you love Leslie Uggams, go see Uptown Downtown. You're not going to be disappointed.
How much longer is it playing?
She will be playing there until December 12th.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's just, I think, 4 weeks.
All right, well, we will put
and
something up.
I know she's telling me that they're planning on taking Stormy Weather to Broadway. And in the meantime, I think she ought to bring this to Broadway. Michael Bush also directed this. And in the interim, this would probably be a welcome show in New York, I would think.
Well, I think we'll put the contact information for her show up on our website. And people will be able to follow it there. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing it with us.
Thank you,
and
Don.
Once again, Don Grigware, a reviewer from BroadwayWorld.com and also GrigwareTalksTheater.com. Thank you so much, Don. Talk to you soon.
Bye, Don.
Bye, Don.
Well, bye, Vicki. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
You too.
Thank you. You too, Don.
Bye-bye.
Don Grigware, just a really, really nice
lovely
guy.
Man. Love very him. Passionate about the theater.
He is. I love
and
that.
Who else would drive from L.A. to Sacramento to go
only
to
do Don. Only Don. Only Don. He's the real deal.
He is the real deal. Well, you know...
Well, Michael, do you want to introduce
yes,
our next
indeed,
guest?
Yes, indeed. You know him from Broadway, but what you may not know is that he is the only American actor only American actor to date to have been cited...
According to People Magazine, he's the only American actor to date.
Right, who has been cited as lead actor in a musical, receiving not only a Tony Award in 2006, but a Drama Desk Award, an Outer Critics Circle Award, and a Theater World Award... Each concurrent with his 2005 Broadway debut as Frankie Valli in Jersey Boys, which is still running today at the August Wilson Theater in New York City. Please welcome Mr. John Lloyd Young.
Yay! Cheesy applause. You're the first. You're the first person to ever conduct your own cheesy applause. I'm very impressed.
He's a musician.
Yes.
What are you gonna do?
Yes, he is.
What are you gonna do, John?
I'm not a fan of the slow fade.
No. None of us are. None of us are. Thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it. And as I said about Vicki, prior to her interview, John is joining Vicki in Broadway Rocks in Anaheim this coming Saturday for a wonderful cause for the foundation down there that is going to be called the Anaheim Performing Arts Center. APAC is the acronym for that organization, and it will become permanent host to a resident stage and musical theater production company, as well as the Anaheim Ballet and the Orange County Symphony. So thank you for lending your time to something that worthy, and so many other great stars, I understand, are going to be working with you.
The whole gamut of LA Broadway types will be there, and it's so exciting to the prospect of building a theater complex for a stage actor. Isn't that like you can't imagine anything better?
And so needed.
Remember all those movies in the 30s where a group of actors would go and build a theater in a barn?
You know,
there's a sort of romantic element to that.
My mom can do costumes and my dad knows music.
There you go. You know, Anaheim, I think really they're only really prominent, or Orange County, I should say, their most prominent complex is the Orange County Performing Arts Center. And that's pretty much it. Right, Ron Goswick? Mm-hmm. Ron Goswick's in our studio, who is the producer of Broadway Rocks Anaheim. So he's going to be, we're going to be looking over there to you if I would ask you some additional questions. Ron, as a matter of fact, just shout out a little bit. Who are some of the other stars that will be joining you?
We have Jim Barber. We have... God, you ask me these questions.
You got Michelle Duffy.
We have
Michelle Duffy.
David Engel.
Ovation award-winning Michelle Duffy.
Yeah.
We have...
A veritable potpourri.
Again, another Alzheimer's
Miss America?
Home.
Yeah.
Wait, who... Marianne Mobley. Yeah, yes.
I mean,
she's great. Nicole Sullivan, Mad TV. Who else?
Nicole Pratt.
Parker. Why did I say Sullivan? Oh, that's the other Mad TV girl.
Okay.
She's not going to be there. Darn it.
James Snyder from Crybaby.
Yes. You've got the Marvelous Winter Rats, all of them, right?
No, they're not coming. Either.
Oh, they're not coming. Forget about them. I never said that.
Not-so-marvelous Wonder Rats?
Not-so-marvelous. Good Lord. But
just
most importantly...
The kids next door from Musical Theater University.
And they're wonderful. We've seen them before. But most importantly, these two people, Vicki and John. Wow.
Apparently, I just picked up another song, too.
That's right. That's exactly
cool, I like it.
You go.
Do you own the cast album of Marvelous Wonder Rats? Because you got to learn a couple of tunes.
Now, you know, speaking of CDs, which we were talking about with you, John also can proudly claim something that's specific to Jersey Boys, and that's the fact that the Jersey Boys CD, on which he was, of course, featured, went platinum and is the only, is that correct, the only Broadway show to
No.
Oh,
it's okay. One of very few,
one
yeah,
of very few
to go platinum, especially this day and age.
Yeah.
And I just got the commemorative little showcase piece to hang on the wall. It's, right now it's on the ground next to the wall, being ready to be hung.
Is it like one of those big albums like they do?
It's like a shadow box. And it's sort of like a shadow box, and it has different levels, and there's a, you know, there's a platinum colored CD in there and a little plaque that says congratulations to John Lloyd Young or whoever gets the commemorative.
That's very exciting, though, it's, really, right?
But it's a real
I mean, let's talk about
thing.
Jersey Boys for just a minute, if we may. You were the star of the show when it opened on Broadway, but working out of the show, I think, at the La Jolla Playhouse, I believe it was, you were not involved in that process,
no.
Right? And so this was a surprise to you that this happened this way? I mean, usually...
This is my second round of auditions. I had to audition for the initial one.
Mm-hmm.
And then about a year passed before it came to Broadway, and I was, for you know, no pun intended, more seasoned when it came around again. So 6 auditions later, I had the part.
Did you realize at that point in time that this show was going to change your life?
And change the life of Broadway, actually. Yeah, and so I started preparing immediately for the big... I figured it would be a big hit because of the California production, which was extended, I think, 3 or 4 times. It ended up running for 5 months, which, as Vicky knows, in a regional production, that's unheard of.
What was the original run supposed to be?
Probably a month.
Yeah,
really?
La Jolla Playhouse, it usually
is. A month, 6 weeks tops. Yeah,
right. It's a non-profit theater. I think their runs are, they rehearse you for a month, and then you have to go find another role.
And it's hard to find audiences for the extensions. So that
yeah.
is
Yeah, because you don't have the pre-sale on it. Yeah.
Not to mention that it was an East Coast story doing amazing business on the West Coast. So I figured that it would be a very successful show on Broadway, as long as I didn't screw it up. So I was elated for probably about 5 minutes and then deathly scared.
And then you came into so many other things. I know that I said to you earlier this afternoon that you and I first met, we met before this, but we kind of renewed our acquaintance at the Hollywood Bowl when you were starring
right.
in
That's what
Les
brought
Mis.
Me out to Los Angeles. I'm actually of California because I was born in Sacramento. But that brought me back to Los Angeles and for good. And Ron Goswick was the stage manager
yes.
of that production, which is the connective tissue for this benefit we're about to do. So
indeed.
That's how he got
Well, he's a fixture here in Los Angeles. He kind of weaves his way in and out of everything. We've all are blessed to have this man in our lives.
Men like Ron are called mavens, I think. Connectors, right?
Mavens?
I think so. Well, that's an East Coast thing. Maybe.
I liked connective tissue.
Connective tissue
is far more
right.
far more provocative, I think. Yeah.
So,
do you like being referred to as connective tissue?
If he doesn't, he'll tell me afterwards.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
I want to, but let me say something though, because I'm curious about this, because you know, it is like you said, it is a rarity for something for a Broadway cast album to go platinum. But I think what should also be recognized is that it opened on Broadway in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
It's only 5 years.
You're right.
And when you think about and you figure that the you know, with those that have gone, you know, so if it's Chorus Line or if it's Cats or something like that, that an incredible longevity, as Jersey Boys will, of course, eventually have as the years go on. But this is also early to have this accolade, isn't it?
It's one of those strange things that's happening to Broadway is that there's starting to be more. Actually, it's happening all over. Is that there's something taps into sort of a nostalgia. And there was already an audience for Jersey Boys before it opened, and
right.
it was a fresh new take on the music,
right.
and people already had the albums. So those who already liked Frankie Valli and Four Seasons had them, so then they discovered this show and bought us doing them, which is
right. And I don't think people expect the book to. Be, I mean, initially, I don't think people expected the book to be as good as it is. The story.
I think
to be
that's
as good
really
as
what made the difference.
Yeah, because I mean, you could do a review. I mean, you could do actually an excellent review of just the Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons songs. That would be would be fine and it would be received very well, but it wouldn't be Jersey Boys because of that.
We had
pretty
great writers. I mean, Marshall Brickman won an Academy Award with Woody Allen for Annie Hall, and Rick Ellis was also great at, you know, the book was the strongest thing. In fact, that first time that I ever auditioned, I got the script and was like astounded after the audition at how well the scenes played themselves, because at that point in 2005 there'd been a spate of like really horrible jukebox shows, and so it was like, oh, here's an audition for a jukebox show, right. Oh, get ready for egg on your face. And yet then it was it actually had such integrity, the scenes, even if the scenes were connective tissue, you know, between two Four Seasons songs,
right.
They one song got to the next with dramatic intent, and the scenes were actually very strongly written, you know, no matter how short they were, and there was sense to the story. So it was actually not only extremely fun to do, but also felt theatrically dignified, because you're actually also spinning out a dramatic structure that had some, you know, weight to it.
Right. You had a book that was, yeah, had, like you said, dramatic weight to it, and it wasn't just a means to get from song to song to song.
And all the characters had an arc. There was a beginning. You know, we all started out as sort of these scrappy guys trying to pull things together, pull resources together to maybe become successful. And the audience watches our characters become successful, and then watches that success fade. And then watches Frankie bring it back up when he's a solo artist. So there's a whole, you know, roller coaster ride of stuff that you get to play, which for an actor is like what you hope for.
Wow. And, you know, here's a little 6 degrees of separation. And Ron, you relate to this. You remember the first year of LA's Next Great Stage Star, Marissa Haddad, who won that competition. And her life changed the next day, literally. She gave up the day job. She got the agent. She was out there working and working. And ultimately, a year later, was in the sit-down version of Jersey Boys in Chicago, playing Merry Valley. And then after that, moved to New York, hated living in New York, hated getting up at 5 a.m. and doing the audition thing, and met a very handsome man who was a doctor, and made a decision. She's moving to Boston with him, where he's from and her family's from, giving it all up. A month ago, the Broadway company calls her and says, we'd like you to appear on Broadway as Merry Valley for a couple of weeks. Do you mind? There you go.
Once you're in the door with a big show like that, you know. Once you're in the door with a big show like that, you know, there's that the door is open. Go ahead.
No, it's your interview. I just wanted to pop in because you're doing like the 6 degrees or the connective tissue thing. So I did Ron Melrose, who works on your show.
Right, who was the music director of Jersey Boys.
I did Snoopy with him on Broadway. So I just think that's.
And we're all connected.
And I went to college with Greg Burton, who was head of animation for Jersey Boys on Broadway.
Automation. That's why I didn't know what you're talking about.
That's why I didn't know.
Right, so all of the things on the stage that sort of
that
moved without a stagehand with pulleys or whatever, was his... Yeah, he was one of the really nicest crew guys I've ever met.
And the first nightclub act I ever produced... Steve Orich, who wrote the arrangements for Your Jersey Boys.
Tony nominated.
But no ovation.
Wrote the arrangements for my act.
Just
Joan
Ryan.
He probably just got his platinum commemorative Jersey Boys thing,
yes,
too.
Yes.
He had a
you
lot
know
to
what?
Do with
Speaking
that.
Speaking of platinum and records, you had a debut single, which was released on Valentine's Day.
Last
2010?
Year.
It says 2010 here. 2009. Well, still you had a single, which was called Love Believes.
It's still there.
I had a single, but the little penicillin
That's the great
clearer.
Thing about iTunes is that it's
always
on
it's
the
all
shelf.
There, isn't it?
But you know what? I found it interesting that you chose a singer by the name of Holly Miller from among your actual fans to join you on this single.
The single is not a conventional sort of rock song. It was actually written by a guy who writes sort of chamber rock musicals in New York, and had done a reading of it, and it seemed to me that it could be mainstream also, that it had a beginning, middle, and end, which is sort of different than, I guess, folk songs do that, but it was about a rock singer and a fan who sort of saves him from himself, and so I cast a fan as the other singer.
It's cheaper that way.
It's cheaper.
It's good for the budget.
Yeah, that was my recession era.
All right, so you've won Tony Award. You've won all the awards. You're this wonderful singer. You've been on Broadway. You do television. You star in movies. You did a wonderful film, I understand. I've not had the pleasure of seeing it. Called Oy Vey, My Son Is Gay, and you played opposite Lainey Kazan. And
who we
Saul
just
Rudimack.
Saw at the Catalina nightclub like the other night.
Yeah,
she's
I'm sure she was.
Fantastic.
Yeah,
I've never seen her live.
I'm sure she was.
So we looked at YouTubes of when she was on the Dean Martin show on set
yeah,
together.
And all that,
that
hair.
Was fun.
There was a lot
yeah.
of hair, though.
I just watched My Favorite Year about 2-3 days ago.
She's marvelous. But, John, you also are a wonderful artist who has his work currently on display.
I have right. a show. It just opened on Friday. It'll be running through December 3rd at the Hamilton Selway Fine Art Gallery across the street from the Pacific Design Center on Melrose. And I don't know how many of your audience members are friends, fans of Friends, but you know, almost everyone has seen Friends.
Sure.
And in the coffee shop that yeah. they hang out in, there was always a very vibrant painting in the background.
Mm-hmm.
That artist who did those paintings is Burton Morris, and he's a renowned pop painter.
Right.
And he and I are in this show jointly, so he introduced me to the art world the other day, which was great. Really
fantastic.
Nice of him.
Oh, and that's the Hamilton Selway Fine Art Gallery in Hollywood. Hamilton-Selway, S-E-L-W-A-Y. So anyone who's interested can go online and Google that and get all the information on that.
It's actually HamiltonSelway.com.
There
oh, really?
Go.
Once again, these complicated
yes.
URLs. How will we ever do?
So, Paul, now we come time to the initiation process.
We're winding
here.
Down. We yeah. only have about 5 minutes left. But one of the things we like to do for accomplished performers such as yourselves and just sort of bring everything to that same place where we've all been at some point in our lives, the nightmare on stage story, the nightmare, the worst thing to happen to you, either most embarrassing or most awkward, or it doesn't necessarily have to be on stage. It could have been any in any performing capacity at all. But just can you, going back through your...
I remember I was doing A Day in Hollywood, A Night in the Ukraine, and I don't know if you ever saw it, but if you did, there was this... left some of my consonants out. There was this three-tiered... piece of scenery, right? So it had like three doorways in it. And I was singing my song and I was in the middle doorway. And as I was singing it, the whole piece was falling forward, but it went
oh,
around
Lord.
Me, right?
So it was like a Buster Keaton.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And then I guess the spot guy started laughing or something, so the spot started to go off my head, and it was pretty great. That was pretty good.
But you were safe.
I was safe.
Okay.
Oh, I'll just tell you real quickly. So I was doing The Wizard of Oz and with Joanne Worley.
Who was...
She sang I've Got a Right to Sing the Blues as the witch. It was funny.
Oh,
yeah.
She was
doing her club act, kind of.
No, yeah. yeah. Oh, okay.
It was cool, though. It was Sorry. Funny. I don't remember. I was very young. And it was like 7,500 seats, so you can't tell that my nose is too big to be Dorothy. Like, it was great. So anyway, the monkey captures me, right?
I need a larger theater to perform in.
Exactly. Well, you know, we have the same issue. And so the monkey captures me, and we're up like 30 feet on this fly thing, and we got stuck. And so she started doing, like, we're stuck in the spotlight. We can't go anywhere. I'm swinging with this monkey. And she started singing, like, different club songs. It was very funny. Okay,
stuck in the spotlight with a monkey.
Yes.
Yeah. Next on the CW.
Yes.
Haven't
yes.
you been before?
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Haven't you been before?
Not in the biblical sense, no.
John, you're on.
The only one I can think of is I'd gone on vacation for like a week, and it was in the middle of the Jersey Boys run, and I came back and, you know, I hadn't like reviewed my lines or anything because I'd been doing it for like a year or whatever by then. And I get to this really important moment where I stand up at the table and confront one of my band members, and I say, you know, there's this huge monologue about how you only care about yourself and, you know, whatever, and it ends with, and I'd really like to see you hurt. And then he comes and he lunges for me. Well, I get up to say that monologue, and I didn't remember anything.
Oh.
So I'm just standing there, and everyone at the table's looking at me, including him, and I wasn't going to remember it. And so we're standing there for like a minute, And then he finally just gets up and grabs him by the collar anyway. And the audience didn't even, I don't think the audience even knew
what
was
going on. They just thought it was a very long dramatic pause.
They were so used to us fighting, you know, for the first hour and a half of the show that they were just like, oh, well, I'm sure he has his reasons.
I don't like the way you've looked at me for a minute, mister.
How dare you stand there and stare at me with your mouth open.
That must have been petrifying, though, really. What was it not? I mean, what was going through your head? I mean, you grasping.
It was pretty scary, but then I also, like, I got a little cocky, and I was like, hey, we're going to be singing a song pretty soon. They'll forget all about it. Audiences are very forgiving if you're entertaining them.
Did you find, having done the show as long as you did, that did you ever find yourself thinking, like, did this happen in this, did I do that in this performance, or did I did it in a previous performance? Because I found that to be the case when I did the solo show for years, and I did two show days. And I would think, at, you know, in the evening, you know, performance, did I do this earlier now, or did I do it at 3 o'clock? Did you ever find yourself thinking?
I had more of the feeling of being like an airline pilot, where like it was like from the minute I stepped on stage to the minute I left, I had to be on very, very meticulous with the controls, or else the whole plane could crash. Okay. So for me, it was like a balancing act.
Okay.
And
okay.
The minute I was in that headspace, if anything went wrong, it was like with that experience I just told you.
Yeah.
It was hard to get back on track because I was so, you know, I was so sequential with how, you know, just keeping the thing on track.
Right.
Well, I know that feeling though, what you mean. Like if you do a long run and it's like you're driving your car and you go from A to B, but you don't really know, you don't have any memory of it, but you just got home. You're not
sure.
I could make up
a grocery list in the middle of the show if I needed to. I was like, I gotta buy this, what I'm home and this, and in the middle of doing like an 11 o'clock number.
Right.
Without any, you know, diminishment in quality, probably. You know?
Well, that's an art in itself, right? We're going to remind everybody once again, Paul, to mark their calendars to see both Vicki Lewis and John Lloyd Young, plus many other musical theater stars in Broadway Rocks Anaheim, November 27th, this weekend, at the Heritage Forum in Anaheim, California, in benefit of the Anaheim Performing Arts Center Foundation and their quest to become home to a resident stage and musical theater production company, the Anaheim Ballet and the Orange County Symphony. And for tickets, you should simply call area code 714-401-5325. Again, 714-401-5325.
And in addition to thanking today's guests, we also want to say that you're not going to believe this is going to be so much fun for me. The motion picture version, West Side Story, next week we have both Bernardo and Riff. We have George Chakiris and we have Russ Tamblyn both here, and I am going to give them both switchblades, and they are going to go at one another.
And George won an Academy Award for that performance.
And Russ Tamblyn was nominated for Peyton Place.
For Peyton Place 4 years earlier. Yeah.
And I didn't know that until you told me that.
There you go. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
Do you like the way I threw that off as though it was my own observation? I can't deceive people, Michael. I just can't.
I can't.
Vicki, John, thank you both for coming.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Donna is in the studio with us. Ron, happy Thanksgiving. And to all of you listening to State of the Arts, thank you for supporting us, and have a beautiful, blessed Thanksgiving.
And we will see you next week.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strolley right here on LA Talk Radio.